So today we're going to continue in our series, Who is the Son? If you're new to Destiny Church or just started coming recently, we just finished a series not too long ago on Who is the Holy Spirit? And I encourage you today, if you would like to know more about the Holy Spirit, or maybe you missed some of those teachings on the Holy Spirit because it was during the summertime and maybe you were traveling, things were happening. So I encourage you, go to our website, mydestinychurch.com, and you can go there and you can receive those downloads and hear those messages for you free. You can also sign up for your iTunes and receive that automatically every week. Those can be downloaded to your iTunes account or whatever your MP3 players you have. And so I invite you to find those out. But today we're continuing on Who is the Son as we talk about who is Jesus. We talked about who is the Son, the carpenter, and how his life relates to me, that I can relate to our Savior, and he can relate to me because he walked here on earth. He went through temptations that I go through, the Bible says. He worked hard, and he worked hard as a carpenter. He understands the everyday grind of our life. He understands rejection. He understands pain. He understands having people mad at you. He understands people who disappoint you and reject you. And so we can relate to our Savior because he's walked in our shoes. We talked about him as the great shepherd and how he's calling out to us as sheep. The Bible calls him the great shepherd, and we are the sheep of his pasture. And how he's speaking to us very clearly, and we hear his voice and are led by the great shepherd. We talked about him as a great teacher and how his teaching just totally revolutionized today and how it brought the gospel to practical understanding and how he became the living God, the living teacher. And he taught us in so many ways to understand. And today we're going to look at Jesus the Lamb. Jesus the Lamb. 104 times we see this word lamb when it refers to Jesus used in Scripture. 104 times it's used to describe Jesus. We find it in 54 times that this word lamb is used in the first five books of the Old Testament. So 54 times it's used in the first five books of the Old Testament. Then we find it used 27 times in the very last book of the New Testament of Revelations. So we see out of 81 times out of 104 times it's used at the very beginning and the very end. He says, I am the beginning, I am the end. I am the Alpha, I am the Omega. Isn't that something that we find him being used, the lamb, this much in the very first and the very last of the Scripture? But we see where he is called the Lamb of God. Exodus 29, verses 38 and 39. Look what it says here. Now this is what you shall offer on the altar. Two lambs of the first year, day by day, continually. One lamb you shall offer in the morning, and the other lamb you shall offer at twilight. Now we see this is a pattern that in the Old Testament that you had to live by, that you had to offer up for atonement of our sins. We had to offer up the lamb twice a day. You had to offer one up at the in the morning time, and you had to offer one up at twilight. So you offer one up at bedtime. You offer one up, you know, that, hey, this is the morning. This is the end of the day. All the sins I've committed, and then you get to get up next morning and do the same thing. Offer another lamb for all the sins you committed when you was dark. You know, so you had to continue offering up atonement for your sins. This was the pattern that was given to the Old Testament. They had to continue to offer up. The lambs had to be offered up. The lambs had to be offered up for atonement for sin. And it was always atonement. It was never forgiveness, but it was always atonement. And we have to realize today that it's not because of what we've done, but because of what he's done. Today, our forgiveness of sins does not come by anything that we've done. It's come because of what the Lamb has done. Our forgiveness comes by what the Lamb has done in our life. And so the Lamb was always given as a sacrifice to make atonement for the sins. And let me talk to you more about the Lamb today. Let me give you a couple things about the Lamb I believe you should know. First of all, the Lamb was, first of all, provided. The Lamb was provided. Genesis 22, verses 7 and 8. Look what it says here. But Isaac, this is Abraham and Isaac. We know the story about him going up to sacrifice Isaac, his son, on the mount. Look what it says. But Isaac spoke to Abraham, his father, and said, my father. And he said, here I am, son. Then he said, look, the fire and the wood, but where's the lamb for the burnt offering? Now, you know, Isaac was pretty intelligent here. He's not stupid. Him and his father going up to make a sacrifice, and then he knew that in order to make a sacrifice, usually they brought along the lamb. And so Isaac's looking at Abraham and going, all right, Abraham, dad, I see the wood. I see the fire. I see the altar here. What's going on? And I see you, and I see me. I don't see no lamb. What's happening here? Yeah, I'm just kind of picking up on something here. And Abraham said, my son, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering. So the two of them went together. Now, we know how the rest of the story plays out. We know that Abraham was being commanded by God to offer up his son as a test to his loyalty to the Lord. And when he went there, of course, the angel stopped Abraham from sacrificing his son, and he told him, look up, and he saw a ram in the thicket caught, and they brought the ram and they sacrificed. But isn't it curious here to see this, that Abraham said, God will provide what? The lamb. Abraham said, son, don't worry. God's going to provide the what? Say it together. The what? The lamb. But when God brought the sacrifice, what did he bring? He didn't bring the lamb. He brought the ram. God provided the ram. And I just wonder how many times we read over that and realize it was not a prophecy of things to come. I believe it was. It was something that was God was speaking more than just what Abraham and Isaac was doing right there. That God was speaking to you and I that don't worry, that God's going to provide. First of all, we got to realize that. That no matter what you're going through today, you realize that God will provide. If you don't get anything else today, you receive this in your spirit. That no matter what you're going through in your life, when it seems like you're sacrificing, you're giving up things that are close to you, and things are hurting, and things are painful in your life, and you don't know where the answer is going to come from. You don't know where the sacrifice is going to come from. You don't know where the provision of God is going to come from. You know this, that God will provide. This is something as Christians we have to have faith in, a hold of, that God will provide in my life. Even when it's painful, and even when it doesn't make sense, and even when I don't see it with my natural eyes, I know by faith that as a Christian, my footsteps are ordered of God, and He will provide. That's the very basic faith of my Christianity. My hope is in Him. My trust is in Him, and He will provide the things that I have need of in my life. This is what Abraham was saying. First of all, my son, God will provide. Not only for us today, but He's speaking to you and I, foretelling in the future. God will send a lamb that will take care of the ultimate sacrifice. God didn't send the lamb that day. God sent the ram. But we know 2,000 years later that God sent His Son, the Lamb of God. Look what John 1:29 says. John the Baptist is speaking here. He said, the next day John saw Jesus coming toward him, and he said, behold, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world. Now today, maybe you always wanted to be a preacher. Maybe you want to get up here and raise your voice a little bit like this. Maybe say, I don't, Pastor, I wouldn't know what to speak if someone asked me how to preach. I just tell you, this is one of the best sermons ever preached. And you and I can, every one of us here, we can preach the sermon no matter where we're at. We can memorize the sermon. When you don't know what to say, you just say, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. That's what John was saying. He said, behold, this is the Lamb of God. He's come as the ultimate sacrifice. John knew this. John had understanding of this. We are sons and daughters of Abraham by faith. That's what Scripture teaches us. Scripture says that by faith, we are sons and daughters of Abraham. And so we know this, that our spiritual father, Father Abraham, our spiritual father Abraham, that he went to sacrifice his son. And the Spirit of God stopped him before he sacrificed his son. But we know 2,000 years later that our Heavenly Father walked up a hill also to do a sacrifice with His Son. His Son, the Lamb of God. And He didn't stop there. He allowed the thing to go to fruition. He allowed it to be completed because He knew this was the ultimate sacrifice of the Lamb. He knew this was the Lamb that was needed to be sacrificed for you and I. Our Heavenly Father walked up Calvary, and He didn't stop. You ever wonder why in sin comes that we try to cover ourselves up? We see this all the way back with Adam and Eve in our life. And Adam and Eve were in the garden, and they ate of the tree that was forbidden. Immediately, they went and hid themselves, and God called out on them, and they covered themselves with plants and leaves. You ever feel like that when you come to church? And when you come to church that you know that maybe you've had a bad week, and you haven't lived everything the way you should, and you walk in and someone asks you how you're doing, you're like, oh, I'm doing all right. Why? Why you ask? You know I'm talking about? You're there and you're standing. How you doing, brother? Hey, I'm okay. Someone walks from behind. How you doing? Hey. Oh, I'm doing all right. What you doing back here? Hey, I'm okay. Sometimes that's the way we try to live our life. We feel like, you know, that we feel so unworthy We feel so unworthy, so unclean in our life because of past mistakes in our life, because of things we've done. And we come in and people want to talk to us and worship. We're like, oh, man. Everybody here could just read my mind and know some of the mistakes I made this week. And we have this guilt and we want to cover up. We want to cover up our sins. And today we know this, that you can't cover up your sins. You can't cover up your sins. They've already been exposed. God knows what they are, and God knows them. But the good news is this, that he sent the Lamb. He sent the Lamb. He provided the Lamb that covers the multitude of sins. He sent the Lamb who covers our embarrassment. He sent the Lamb who covers our shame. He sent the Lamb who covers the forgiveness that I needed. Not only does God provide, but number two, the Lamb was what? The Lamb was pure. The Lamb is pure. Exodus 12:5. Says it like this: your lamb shall be without blemish. He's talking about, this is the kind of lambs they have to sacrifice. The kind of lambs that they were required, that God was requiring for them to sacrifice on twice a day. He said, these lambs must be without blemish. That word in Hebrew, as we translate that phrase out, it actually means 100% pure. 100% pure. 1 Peter 1:19 in the New Testament says like this: but with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish, without spot. That word also, even in the Greek and the Hebrew, both translate this to 100% pure. That the lambs had to be pure. They had to be without spot, without blemish. A pure lamb that was given up. It compares Jesus to that. Jesus was this lamb, a lamb without blemish, without spot. Ephesians 5:27 talks about the church. Look what it says about the church when it compares us. That he might present her to himself, talking about the church, that's us, a glorious church, not having a spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. And we read this and we think, that's impossible. How can I be without blemish? I'm human in my nature, and I've made mistakes in my life, and I've got spots that aren't pretty. I got things in my life that people could see that maybe they wouldn't think was great. So how do we get that? I can only achieve that not by good works. I can never do enough good things. I can never know enough scripture. I can never quote enough scripture. I can never do enough good things in my life. How do I get this way? There's only one who's ever walked this earth who could fit into this category, and his name was Jesus. He was the only one who walked this earth without spot, without a blemish. He was perfect. And when I put my faith in him, the Lamb of God, I am coming into right standing with him. I'm coming into agreement with what he's already done. And I cannot on my own be spotless. But when I jump into his kingdom, his forgiveness, his righteousness, when the Father sees me and he looks at me, he looks down and he doesn't see Gene. He sees the righteousness of his Son. He sees the righteousness of his Son, which is without spot or wrinkle, without blemish. He sees the 100% pureness of his Son, his blood, which covers the multitude of my sins. This is how I obtain my righteousness. This is how I become in grace and right standing with God. It's through faith in what Jesus Christ has done on the cross, because he was the only one who ever lived this way. It's the faith in the blood of the Lamb. It's the grace that he's given us. And number three, we see the Lamb was perfect. The Lamb was perfect. Not only was it 100% pure, but Leviticus 22 and 21, look what it says here. And whoever offers a sacrifice, a peace offering to the Lord to fulfill his vow, or a freewill offering from the cattle or sheep, it must be perfect to be accepted. There shall be no defect in it. You talk about a high standard, isn't it? This is a high standard. He's talking about those who offer up the sheep. It must be perfect to be accepted. So in order for the sacrifice to be accepted from the Lord, the lamb had to be perfectly, without spot, without blemish. No defect in it. How many know that that's how you and I live our life, isn't it? No, it isn't. We have blemishes in our life. We have spot, and we have things that just don't look the way they should at times in our life. So how can we ever stand before God? We can stand before God knowing this, that the Lamb was perfect. The Lamb is perfect. You say, Pastor, why is that important? I want to tell you, because we see in the first Passover, when we see when the very first time we talked about the Passover, when we talked about the Holy Spirit and what that represents in Passover, and we know that when the children of Israel, the first Passover, they were getting delivered from Pharaoh, that Moses called all the men together. He's like, all right, guys, this is what's going to happen. What's going to happen is this. God's going to send his death angel, and if you got to go home, you got to sacrifice the lamb. This is how you do it. Take the blood, put it above your doorway. And when the death angel passes, those who have the blood covered on their door, they're going to be saved and spared. Those who don't, they're going to lose the firstborn of their son. Now, we know this to be true. But we see the story, and you ever imagine what happened after that, though? I mean, it's not always something that's easy to be accepted. Think about this. So the men went, received the word from Moses, then they had to go home and share it with their family. Now, I know today that my marriage is the only one that's perfect. The rest of you guys, you have some problems communicating. Now, we know that it's not always perfect communication, is it? And can you imagine the guys going home and talking to the wives? All right, honey, this is what Moses said. What did he say this time? I mean, can you imagine? Now what we got to do? Well, first of all, we got to kill a lamb. Could you imagine the women? Another lamb? That's two a day, not good enough for the man. Now he wants another lamb killed. Not only does he want the lamb killed, but also we're supposed to take this blood and put it away the door. I know you ain't talking about putting that blood on my door. We just painted that door last week. I mean, this wasn't an easy thing that was happening here. It had to be accepted and explained, and they had to come into agreement what was happening here. They had to put their faith in what? In the blood. There was something that the family had to come together and say, we're believing what God's going to do. We're believing that we're going to be spared through grace through the blood. The blood that was over the doorstep, over the threshold, what? They had to put their faith in that blood that this was going to protect them. They had to put their faith in their blood that they were doing the right things. It was their faith in the blood. You see the coalition now. It's the faith in the blood of the Lamb that saves us. It's the faith in the blood of our Savior, the precious Lamb of God that saves us. What you did not see happening in those days, can you imagine as they brought their sacrifices to the temple, as they were bringing their sacrifice? Do you think as the men were driving these and bringing these sacrifices to the Lamb, do you think on the way they're thinking, you know what? Man, I hope I read my Bible enough this week. This year, I hope I learned enough scripture this year. God's really going to be pleased with me. Boy, I hope I did everything exactly the way I was supposed to do it this week. Otherwise, God's not going to accept my sacrifice. Do we see this happen? No, this was not their attitude. Their attitude as they went to take the sacrifice was this. I hope my lamb is perfect enough. Some of you, this is going to be good for you today. You got to get this. I hope my lamb is perfect enough. I hope my lamb is without spot or blemish. I hope my lamb is pleasing to God, because it's all in the power of the Lamb. They never were thinking about the power of themselves. It's not in the power of how much scripture I learned. It wasn't in the power of how much I know. It was in the power of how many good things I did. No, it was in the power of the spotless Lamb. They knew this. Their whole focus was making sure the Lamb was spotless. And today, you and I, when we come as Christians, we don't have to come and say, you know what? I can't worship. God's not going to receive my worship today. I want to lift my hands and worship Him, but man, I just haven't done it exactly the way I should. I just haven't done everything according to the way I know I need to do it. My focus is not on me. My focus is on what? My Lamb. My worship will be accepted. Why? Because my Lamb was accepted. My worship will be accepted by God. Because why? Because my Lamb, His Son, Jesus Christ, the perfect Lamb of God, was accepted. See, that frees you and I up from thinking that we're saved by any works that we do. It's not by how many good things I do. It's by who He has already sent, His Son, the Lamb, the spotless Lamb of God. When I put my faith in the Lamb, when I put my faith in the Lamb, that's where my faith lies. So when I come to worship the Lord, Lord, I stand here righteous, not because of any good works, but because of my relationship with the Lamb. It's because of the forgiveness of the Lamb. It's because of the blood of the Lamb that's been marked across my life that I can put my faith in the blood. And it's the blood of the Lamb that brought forgiveness of my sins. It was not my works. It was the faith in the Lamb, the blood of the Lamb. The world examined my Lamb. Herod and Pilate looked at my Lamb. Jesus, they said, I find no fault in this man. The world examined our Lamb. He said, I find no fault. He's spotless, without blame. He's perfect. The world examined our Lamb. The Heavenly Father examined our Lamb. He said, this is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. The Heavenly Father examined our Lamb, and he says, I'm pleased with this sacrifice. The world looked at it and judged it and said, he's perfect. This is our Lamb. Perfect sacrifice. The man was not examined when he brought his sacrifice. Who was examined? The Lamb was examined. When they brought their sacrifice to the temple, they didn't say, all right, sir, turn around and see what you this week, okay? Yeah, what you, huh? Yeah? I'm sorry, we can't take your lamb today because you just did not know your memory verse this week. Sorry. That's not what happened. They said, bring me your lamb here. And they looked over the lamb. And if the lamb was acceptable, if it passed the pass, the test of being a pure, without spot, without blemish, then it was given as sacrifice and the Lord received it. Isn't that good today? That we know that today when I come in, that God is looking at me through the blood. And when I come in, I say, God, forgive me my sins. I believe in the blood of Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, that his blood covers my multitude of sins. And today I don't stand and worship the Lord because of anything I've done on my own, in my own righteousness. I can never be that good. I stand here today on the power of the Lamb. My Lamb was examined. He was found with perfect before man, and he was found perfect before God. Our Savior, the Lamb of God, he passed the test. He was the Lamb that was given. 100% pure. He was 100% perfect. He was the Lamb that we needed today. In closing today, I say to you, do you have your eyes on yourself or do you have your eyes on the Lamb? Do you allow your salvation to be held up on yourself, or you allow your salvation to be in the Lamb? It's the Lamb today that changes our attitude. It's the Lamb that allows us to, you know what? It's with grace and mercy today that I can worship our Lord. It's the Lamb today without spot, without wrinkle. I'm going to ask you to bow your heads this morning where you're at. If you're here today, you say, Pastor, you're talking about this Lamb of God. I've been trying to change myself, first of all. I've been trying to change who I am. I've been trying to change and become so good that I can offer myself up to God first. And today, let me tell you, you can never be good enough on your own. You can never do enough good things on your own to come to God. We're to come to God. We're to come to Jesus just as we are. Offer ourselves up to him and believe in the Lamb. And with nobody looking around today, I want to ask you this question. If you hear, say, Pastor, I'm ready to quit trying to be good on my own, and I'm ready to bring forth the Lamb of God. I want to apply the blood of the Lamb of Jesus to my life that I can get in right standing with God, that I can change the way I live my life, that I can walk a new relationship with him. Today, if you're here, you say, Pastor, I've never accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. And today, I want to make that decision. I will not embarrass you in any way. But if you're here today, you want to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, can you just raise your hand where you're at and say, Pastor, that's me. I want to make that decision. Thank you. Anybody else? Thank you. Anybody else today, say, Pastor, that's me. I'm ready to make that decision. Anybody else to my left over here, you want to make that decision as well. Raise your hand where I can see it. You want to join these that already raised their hands. You say, I'm ready. I'm ready. Maybe you're here today, you say, Pastor, I'm ready to quit looking at myself, and I'm ready to start looking at the Lamb. I need to quit devaluing what Jesus did for me. I need to quit trying to make it about me and realize it's about the Lamb. I bet you today I say, welcome to a new freedom when you put all your focus on the Lamb. I want to pray this prayer today before we close. And we have those who raised their hands today said they want to accept Jesus Christ as the first time. So I want us all to say this prayer together. Can we say it? Say, dear Jesus.
Dear Jesus.
Forgive me my sins.
Forgive me my sins.
Come into my life today.
Come into my life today.
I give you everything I am.
I give you everything that I am.
I give you today.
I give you today.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
I will live for you.
I will live for you.
I believe in your Son, Jesus Christ.
That
the Savior of the world.
The Savior of the world.
That He died on Calvary.
That He died on Calvary.
For the forgiveness of my sins.
For the forgiveness of my sins.
Today, if you prayed that prayer, we say, welcome to the family of God. Amen. Give me a hand clap. Before you leave today, we got a special Bible for you and some other things we want to give you in the very back. As you leave out today, pick up one of those packets that tells you what to do next. It's a free gift for us and you today. Make sure you pick it up before you leave. Let's stand today. We're going to close with this. You know, John said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. We're going to close with this chorus. It says, worthy is the Lamb. Today, we got to quit lifting up ourselves, getting our eyes on ourselves, getting our eyes on our past. And today, we need to get our eyes on the Lamb and the price that He paid. We need to get our eyes on the blood of Jesus and the grace and mercy that He shows in our life. And so we're going to lift up the Lamb of God today as we sing this song together. Let's let it ring.
Thank you for the cross, Lord. Thank you for the price you paid. Bearing all my sin and shame in love we
now.
Father, we thank you today, God, that the Lamb of God was given for us, Lord. We thank you, God, that you gave your Son, the Lamb of God. He was perfect in every way. He was the ultimate sacrifice. Now, as I believe in him, as I believe in the Lamb, it's the power of the blood that changes my life, that redeems me, that changes who I am. And as I change, it causes me to strive to walk toward righteousness. But I don't get there alone. I can only get there through the blood of Jesus Christ. I can only get there not by my own merit, but it's by the price that was paid by the Lamb of God. And today we thank you, Lamb of God. We lift you up. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. You are worthy. You are an awesome God today. It's with joy that we sing. It was with humbleness, God, that we declare that you are great and greatly to be praised. May you be lifted up in this place today, God, as we celebrate our Lamb, as we embrace our Lamb, as we embrace who you are and what you've done in our life today, God. It changes us. It changes us. We will never be the same. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you today. Hug a neck before you leave. We'll see you very soon. Love is